We're talking with Rachel Faust, and she is the senior research analyst for Reinvent Albany, and as part of an ongoing series of trying to talk to groups to see how well their particular, you know, proposals ended up at the legislative session. We thought we'd talk to Rachel and Reinvent Albany about how did ethics reform do in the New York State Legislature this year. So maybe you want to talk about some of your key priorities, but maybe just also give us a brief introduction. What is Reinvent Albany?
Absolutely. So thanks so much for having me. Reinvent Albany is a watchdog organization. We focus on issues around transparency in state government, like having more data available to the public online in open formats. But we also do a lot of work on ethics reform and anti-corruption work with New York state government. So that's how we get to this conversation today. And, you know, as far as our priority issues in this legislative session around ethics, I mean, it's no surprise to anybody that, you know, this was a what could have been perhaps a major year of some change, given the scandals that have been involving the governor around his book deal, around sexual harassment, and, you know, many other issues. But, you know, like some things, Albany is a place where reform issues sometimes go to die. And that's what we saw in this case with the legislative session. We saw a little bit of movement in the Senate, but the Assembly was where things fell apart in terms of getting some movement on some bills to address some of the recent scandals around the governor.
Yeah, I think many of us are pretty concerned about Carl Hasty, the Speaker of the Assembly. Really represents sort of the old line Democratic machine, the party bosses, you know, come into power. So while the Assembly has traditionally been the liberal, particularly compared to the Senate, now in many cases we find the Assembly being the biggest barrier to some of these reforms. Now, you know, one of the issues, and I know all the media sort of hates, is this idea of the thing called JACO, which is supposed to be this independent ethics committee, which, you know, frankly seems to be controlled by the governor and perhaps some of the legislative leaders. You know, is any progress made on trying to get JACO to become a little bit more independent and responsive?
Yeah, so there were a number of bills that are involving the state's ethics oversight bodies. So JACOPE is the state Joint Commission on Public Ethics. There was one proposal that was a constitutional amendment that would, you know, essentially completely replace it and change the body altogether. That was really a non-starter in the state assembly. And then there were some bills that would make some kind of changes to the current ethics body, to JACOPE. So, you know, right now it's kind of a bizarre structure where, you know, an investigation into, you know, a legislative official or an executive official, it can get blocked if that person doesn't get the votes lined up exactly right in JACOPE. And it has to be, the votes have to be based on, you know, did enough Democrats vote to investigate this Democrat? So it's the, you know, the issue of the sort of the fox guarding the hen house here. And, you know, there were some proposals to just, you know, make it easier for investigations, even just probing an issue to start. So make it just a simple majority vote. You know, Senator Biagi had a bill in the Senate on that, and Assemblymember Hindman had a bill in the Assembly on that. And, you know, that proposal and a few others that are just simple tweaks, they moved in the Senate, but they went nowhere in the Assembly. And I think that a lot of the reason behind that is it's not as if JACOPE just investigates the governor. They also investigate the legislature. So I think it was hitting a bit too close to home for the Assembly, because I think they're well aware that JACOPE is the body that investigates them too. So while you've got some kind of younger, more reform-minded senators who've been coming in recent years, the Assembly very much still represents the old guard. And you know, Vito Lopez had that sexual harassment scandal that was investigated by JACOPE. And, you know, I think people are maybe seeing changes to JACOPE hitting close to them, not just the governor.
Well, one of the recent news stories Times Union has been reporting on, while there's been a lot of skepticism about the so-called Assembly impeachment investigation of the governor, they seemed a little bit shocked at Times Union that, you know, the governor's police detail which, you know, companies all across the state has not been interviewed while they have been interviewed by the attorney general. Do you have any sense that this assembly impeachment inquiry is going to get anywhere?
I mean, I think that the fact that it's taken them quite a long time already tells you all you need to know. I mean, I think a comparison that our friends at Nyberg and Blair Horner likes to make is that, you know, the impeachment investigation into the president, into President Trump, took far less time to come to a decision than the assembly has been taking. They are taking their time. And while they're taking their time, they're you know, working with the current governor, who they, you know, maybe is the known quantity for them. You know, there are a lot of priorities that the legislature had for the session. And, you know, keeping that impeachment investigation going during the session, you know, the cynical view is that could have worked in their favor in terms of negotiations. So now we're here at the end of the session, and, you know, they're still meeting and still, you know, looking at these issues. But I think we don't know where they're going with it yet, but already, you know, they're looking at issues in a much more long-term way than Congress even did. And I think that's an important comparison.
And there's also been media stories. I guess the governor held his first really big fundraiser, maybe $10,000 a head recently, and a lot of special interest, starting with, you know, the labor unions, still showed up and gave him a lot of money despite being under, you know, investigation from, you know, particularly the attorney general. Is there any progress in getting money out of politics in New York State? Did this campaign finance bill that the governor pushed through last year really going to make a difference?
I think, you know, it remains to be seen on that. I think that, you know, the issues around how that proposal was adopted, you know, enforcement of the new campaign finance system was a huge debate in the legislature. And that kind of was a preview of maybe why some of these enforcement issues are tough with the legislature. So, you know, there's going to be a public matching system for New York State, but that's not taking effect till 2024. You know, that's after this governor's race. So, you know, we'll have to see how that system plays out. And we certainly would like it to be successful. But right now, it's the same rules the governor has to play by, or the same rules we've always had, which are pretty weak, where, you know, special interests can give quite a lot of money. You know, I think in contrast, you know, the New York City campaign finance system, you know, we saw some, yes, you know, in independent money continues to play a role, but it's balanced better by, you know, a lot of protections in the New York City system for the election we just saw this year. So we'll have to see how it plays out for 2024, but it's that seeing how that system works is still a ways off.
So we have about 2 minutes left. So once again, this was not what we'd call a landmark session for ethics reform. You know, where do groups realistically move forward in the coming year or so to actually try to get Albany to clean up its act a bit?
So I think one positive thing is that, in addition to, you know, the Senate passed some bills to make those incremental changes to J-COPE, they also passed a couple of bills around sexual harassment. And Senator Biagi and, you know, with the blessing of Andrea Stewart Cousins, have committed to hold some hearings on state ethics over the summer, and, you know, hopefully also in the fall. So that hopefully will set the stage for beginning the public discussion about, you know, what needs to be done and help build public support for these changes. So that's where we're going. And I think there's an effort to, you know, really dive into that constitutional amendment and make it, you know, as strong a proposal as possible to get it as independent a body as we can, because we know that our current ethics enforcement agency, J-COPE, has just failed. So, you know, we're hoping to get some more public attention through those hearings that the Senate is going to hold in the next 6 months before we start this all over again in January.
If people want more information about some of the ethics reform proposal, I assume Reinvent Albany has a website they can look at.
Yes, it's reinventalbany.org. And, you know, you can see what we're working on in terms of ethics and, you know, all our other good government issues.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Rachel Faust, who is the Senior Research Analyst at Reinvent Albany. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.